Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to stand and read in just a moment. But, you know, I just wanted to, I'm going to talk a little bit on the subject of communion, or this time that we call the Lord's Supper. And, you know, the Bible says we need to observe the Lord's Supper. It doesn't say how often. Jesus just says observe it. And I count it a very special time we observe the Lord's Supper here at Faith Baptist Church. I don't want it to be same old, same old. I don't want that cross and the meaning of that cross to be just same old, same old. And so I hope tonight, I preached along these lines before, and I've added a few thoughts to, but this morning early, the Lord just laid on my heart, preach this, and to maybe give us an understanding, and just really understand and just remember what it is that we're going to partake of in just a few moments, and just reflect and so forth. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll stand for the reading of the Word of God. We've got several verses we're going to read. We'll read 23 through 34. And we will read responsively. I'll read and then you read verses 23 through 34 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. He had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. As often as ye drink this bread and drink this cup, ye do so the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. And ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Heavenly Father, we love you, God. We thank you for this time, Lord. I pray you give me clarity tonight. Give me strength as I speak for a few minutes on the Lord's Supper now, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think sometimes, far too often, the Lord's Supper table, it's kind of looked upon as commonplace. So it's something that we do, you know, every other month, usually here, or every few months or whatever. And the truth of the matter is, church, in reality, it's much more than this. It's much more than just kind of coming together and we kind of fulfilled a duty, if you will, or an ordinance or whatever. It's an opportunity. What it is, it's an opportunity for the church to worship the Lord Jesus and remember what he did on Calvary. And what happened, and remember what happened at the Garden Tomb. It is a time when we can rehearse, if you will, the message of the gospel in the ears of those who may not know it. And it's also a time for us to go ahead and reflect upon our walk with Jesus as individuals. So tonight I want to discuss the Lord's Supper. But before we do, and in just a few moments we're going to go ahead and partake of it, but before we do, I want to draw our attention to these verses about this special time. So what is it about the Lord's Supper? Number one, it is a time of remembrance. It's a time of commemoration, if you will. I said a moment ago, I don't want it to be same old, same old. I don't want that cross just to be same old to me. I don't want to forget what moves me to that cross. I don't want to forget all that happened on that cross. Let me just say this, Christian, tonight. We ought to thank God for the cross. You know, had it not been for the cross of Jesus Christ, had it not been for the blood of Jesus Christ, you know what? We'd all be doomed for hell. But I thank God for the cross. You know, Paul is reminding the in church here about the Lord's Supper, and he's telling them it's a bringing to mind, if you will, it's a calling to mind the great sacrifice and the victorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time when we can come together and remember what Jesus did on Calvary. It's an idea of remembering and recalling, if you will, of that special event. I don't want to forget, you know, in how often when I go through the betrayal and everything that Christ went through, it moves me to tears. And it causes me to remember. And it causes me to say, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for loving me so much that you're willing to send your only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. Hey, can you remember? And can you imagine? And I don't know if it moves you to tears, but it moved me to tears when our precious Savior had a cat of nine tails put on his crown of thorns, if you will, placed upon his head. And they take a reed and they pound it into his head. And there were thick, thick thorns, if you will, where the blood would just come gushing down. You know, I don't want to forget that because he did it for me. I don't want to forget the fact that they took a cat of nine tails and they lashed it. They just body to shreds, if you will. The Bible says you couldn't even tell that he was a man. But you know, I don't want to forget the fact that he did it for me. And by the way, if it was only you on this earth, he still would have done it for you. You know, I don't want to forget about everything that he went through, the lashings and the disgusting thought of being spat upon. You know, but he did it for me. And in the mockery and the nails, and we can go through it. And boy, it just sobers me when I think about our Savior Jesus Christ being plopped down upon the cross. And they go ahead and take that metal hammer, if you will, and the metal nails. And can you hear the bang, 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 bang? You know what? It ought to go ahead and sober you. Ought to go ahead and wake you up tonight. You know, the very fact that Jesus, for God, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever you believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wish I could get you young people to remember. You know, I think in this day and age of technology, in this day and age of where you want to text in church, and where you want to just not pay attention in church, where you don't want to pay attention to the man of God, where you don't want to care about the things of God because of technology, because of maybe a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you've kind of gone ahead and pushed it all away. Now, I wish I could get you young people, maybe shake you a little bit, and remember how good it is to be saved. Oh, you know you're saved. You can go to a place where you remember you were saved, but that's just about it. How sad. How sad it is. But it may not just be the young people. It could be some adults here tonight. You know, it's just kind of same old, same old. You know, you show up, you're here, you know, one day and maybe gone the next or whatever, simply because, you know, it never really dug in, if you will, into your life. Yeah, you're saved and you know you're saved, but you know what? You're not really into it, if you will. You know, I want to plead with you tonight. Hey, remember, remember. You know, the Lord's Supper, it's a time of commemoration. It is a time of remembrance. Hey, remember how he left heaven to be born in a human body. You know, that tells me that he knows the exact kind of pain that you can go through physically. You know, he knows the pain. You know, he knows what it's like to have a headache. He knows what it's like to maybe even have a stomach ache. He knows perhaps what it was like to have a cold or whatever, like I do right now, whatever the case may be. You know, he knows what it's like. You know, remember how he became poor that we might be rich, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:9. Remember how he bore our sins of his own body on that tree. Remember how he willingly took our place at Calvary. I deserve this cross, not Jesus Christ. But Blaine, you deserve it too. Doesn't matter who we are here tonight, you know what, we deserve that cross. But because God, he loved us so much, he was willing to, you know, can you just imagine the depth of a father's love? If you were to come to me, some authorities were to come to me and say, you know what, we're going to take your only son and sacrifice him. I'd fight tooth and nail. I'd give up my old life. But God, who loved you so much, it was the only way that that our sins could be paid for. He loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. Let me tell you something, what love. You know, we have never, there's not a love out there near as deep as God's love. You know, we can say that we love our wives and our spouse and so forth, but let me tell you something, there is not a love out there near as deep. When you think about all that God the Father, you realize when Jesus cried out on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that time, God had to go ahead and turn his back on his own son. You know, knowing he'd see him one day, but it was God's plan. He willingly took our place on Calvary. He shed his blood for our redemption. Remember how he conquered death for us forever. I thank God that, you know, not only did he die on the cross and the old devil thought that he had him. The old devil says, yes, I won. He went ahead and said, it is finished. Well, yeah, salvation is finished through the blood of Jesus Christ and in the plan of God. He was laid in the tomb. And can you just see the old devil said, yes, I won. But you know what? Hey, devil, you lose, because up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Amen and amen. Remember how he conquered death for us forever. You don't have to die and go to hell. Think about that. Hell is a real place with real fire. And don't you think for a minute that, you know what, I want to die and go to hell because I'm going to be with my friends forever and ever and ever. Let me tell you something. You won't have one bit of fellowship with your friends. It's going to be torment forever. The hell is a real place. Well, you know what, I just saved tonight, but he conquered death. We don't have to, you know, we're saved if you're saved tonight. We don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. Hey, you know what, remember how he ascended back to heaven to finish his redemptive work and to serve as our high priest forever. You know what it is? It's a time to remember. Sometimes I think we get so busy that we kind of forget. Oh, we're saved. Again, I said a moment ago, we're saved, and we know if we were to die today, we'd go to heaven. You can go ahead and go to that place. You can go to that time. It might have been on your front porch. It might have been in a Sunday school room. It might have been in a church service. Who knows? You know where it's at. You know, it was at an altar at Howes Earson College Chapel where I settled it in 1996. And I thank God that I didn't go ahead and settle it. And I hope that you have your place in that place where you can remember when you got saved. But sometimes we get so busy. Sometimes we're too busy with work, we're too busy with sports, we're too busy with friends, we're too busy with technology, whatever the case may be, that we really, really forget the real reason why we're here. Do you know why you're here? Number one reason, to glorify God. Glorify God. I'm not here to buy me some breath savers. I don't have any money to go ahead. I don't have any right now. I'm not here, you know what, and I'm not against making money, not against having some things and so forth, but that, you know what, if that's all I'm here for, you know what, my life is in vain. You know what, that's not true joy, that's not true happiness. And again, I'm not against stuff and so forth, and I say this, if you got some stuff, use it for Jesus, amen. You know, I mean, I love my snowmobiling story. I love snowmobiling. One of my favorite hobbies when I was in Maine, we had snow up there. You know, and I'd go snowmobiling, and I loved it and so forth. But, you know, and I had a couple of them and so forth and had a few things. And but you know what? I think the biggest joy of my snowmobiles is some of the big days I had on our bus ministry with our snowmobiles. You know, we'd go ahead and group of us guys, we had the, several guys in the church and so forth. We'd go ahead and bring our snowmobiles down to the church, have a promotion with our snowmobiles. And I'm not against stuff. The toys and stuff, but you know what? It's so much more fun. There's so much more fun when you use it for Jesus, amen? But it's a time to remember, but don't get so busy and forget about what Christ did on the cross. It's a time to remember what he did. It's a time of also to contemplate. It's a time, if you will, of concentration, if you will, concentrating on what he did on that cross. Excuse me. Not only are we to remember what Jesus has done for us, but we are also to contemplate what his sacrifice means to us. You know, Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. You know, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So my question to you is, what does that mean to you? Think about it. You know, have you been saved? Another question, does this sacrifice move your heart towards him in worship? Does it? As a Christian, it should. But does it? Another question, does the fact that he is alive forever thrill your soul and cause you to bow down before him in humility and in worship? Does it? You know, Jesus, he died on the cross to save sinners. Are you saved? Does it cause you to move towards the cross or away from him? Boy, we should use this time to reflect on the work of Jesus Christ and what it means to us on an individual basis. Our minds should reflect on his death and his resurrection and what it has accomplished in our lives. It's a great time to consider your personal walk with the Lord. And let me ask you a question. How is your walk with God? You know what's unfortunate? Maybe, I don't know your spiritual temperature. But will this book, it was cracked open this morning, maybe in a Sunday school hour. Probably cracked open this morning in church. You've got it cracked open this evening. You'll carry it home. And you'll set it down. But it will stay in the very same position, in the very same spot. Come next Sunday. Let me tell you something. If you don't get it, this book, which is alive, regularly, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to fizzle away. You're going to be a casualty Christian, and it's a Christian that I would liken to that, you know what, you walk out of these doors one day and you never will return. You know, so often, listen to me, there's so often people go ahead and talk and say, well, this and that about the church or the pastor or whatever the case may be, or they don't meet my need or whatever. Let me tell you something, 9 times out of 10, because they're not right with God in this book right here. Most of the time. They'll go ahead and say everything in the world about this, that, whatever. But you know what? Ask them about their spiritual walk. And you know what? You know, well, I read my Bible 2 months ago. Well, that's the problem. Let me tell you something. You don't get into this place alive. You die spiritually. Oh, you got your place in heaven. That doesn't change. You'll never become all that God wants you to become if you don't get into this book. You know, you can find wisdom in this book. Wisdom is seeing God as seeing life as God sees it. You know, you can find out what the will of God is in this book. You can find out how to have a good marriage in this book. You can find out how to be a good church member in this book. You can find out how to have good health in this book. You can find out how to have a good dating relationship, if you will, in this book. You can find out how to have good friends, if you will, in this particular book. You know what? You can find out anything you want right there. Find out how to tithe, how to give. Find out how to handle your finances right there. But what's sad, we'll go ahead and we opened it this morning twice. We've opened it tonight. Oh, you might go grab it on Wednesday night and come in and open it again. But you never one time opened it for you. So many people say, well, the preacher's supposed to go ahead and feed me. Yeah, I'll do the very best I can. But somewhere, what are you going to do on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday? You know, expect me to come by. I mean, I'll be more than glad if I had the time. I'll come preach to you every Sunday, every single day. But you know what? You wouldn't want that anyways. Some can only do it once a week. Anyways, we'll move forward there. All right, it's a time of contemplation. Boy, we should use this time to reflect upon Christ and what it means to us. You know, are you living in a manner? I mean, is it time to consider your personal walk with the Lord? Is your personal walk all that it should be? Do you have a prayer closet? You know, I say it oftentimes, you know, let me tell you something. When I go to my prayer closet, my prayer time, I gotta shut. I do not carry one screen with me. You know why? It's a distraction. You know, I'm flesh just like you. Oh, how are the Celtics doing? You know, the amazing thing about, you can do anything you want with a phone nowadays. How are the Red Sox? Well, you know, there wasn't much to talk about there this year, but whatever the case may be, you know what? When I go to my prayer closet, doesn't matter. I don't take one screen with me. I take my Bible and my prayer list. That's it. Sometimes I got to walk outside the office or go for a drive somewhere and I'll just shut everything down or whatever because I need that alone time with God. You know what? Is your Christian life, is your walk with God as it should be? Are you living in a manner that pleases to Him? That pleases Him? Is your heart right with the Lord? Boy, you know, you need to consider your relationship with God during this special time that we're going to observe in just a few moments. It's not just a time of commemoration or a time to remember. Boy, and that humbles me when I think of all that Jesus did. But it's also a time to contemplate, to concentrate. It's a time of identification. The Bible says, and I'll read here, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." In remembrance of me, in remembrance of me. You know, this is a time when they all got together. They all publicly said, "You know what, I identify myself with you, Jesus." What this does, the Lord's Supper does, it's a public event, if you will, in church. We all say, "You know, I identify myself with Jesus Christ." We ought not be ashamed to say that I belong to the King. We ought not be ashamed to be a Christian. You ought not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You realize, boy, how embarrassing it was to die on that cross for you. And he was never ashamed of you. I ask you a question, Chris. Are you ashamed of him? Are you willing to go ahead and publicly stand with Christ? Are you willing to go ahead and say, "Yes, I partake of that bread which represents his broken body, and I take of that juice which represents his blood that he spilled for me, and I publicly stand with Jesus Christ. I am unashamed of Jesus Christ." It's a time of identification. It says, "I identify myself as a child of God." Boy, you know what? Let us who have been saved by grace boldly identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible reminds us of those who know him are not to be ashamed of him. The Bible says that in Romans 10, verses 9 through 11. You know, the world may call you a fool. They may say that you use the Lord as a crutch. Regardless of what they say, we need to take a stand. And you know what? I am proud to take a stand. And it doesn't, at the job, do people know you're saved? Do people know that you're a Christian? Just by the way you act, by the way you talk, by the way you walk, by the way you dress. Do people know that there's something different about you? You know what? Let me just say this, public school teenager. You can take a stand at school. Amen. I know it's difficult, but let me just stop and say this. You know, I hope this will give you a little breath of fresh air. You know, every single one of our public school kids, your preacher's praying for you tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, because I know how tough it can be. But you can make it. You know, you don't have to be part of the crowd that's smoking the dope. You don't have to be part of the crowd that's doing immoral things and having sex outside of wedlock. You don't have to be part of the crowd that's drinking and smoking and doing all of that stuff. You don't have to be part of the crowd that's listening to all the junk music, the rap, and all the junk and so forth. You don't have to be part of that crowd. You can say, I publicly stand. I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. So therefore, I'm going to take a stand for him. I'm not going to worry about what others may think. I'm just going to take a stand. You know, you know what? This is a time to identify yourself with him. It's a time to remember. It's a time to contemplate. It's a time to identify. It's also a time of declaration. Verse number 26, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." It was a time of declaration, declaring your salvation. That scripture there reminds us that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are declaring his death and resurrection to generations of people that come after us. This service is prime time for declaring the gospel message to those who do not know it. You know, that is why we preach the gospel message here. And by the way, without apology. That is why we take the stand that we stand. That's why we give the altar call. God have mercy on an independent Baptist church not giving an altar call. And it happens a lot. God have mercy on that. Whatever happened to the old time altar calls, amen? But that's why we do these things. We proclaim it so that men and women and boys and girls would have the opportunity to believe on Jesus Christ, as all the redeemed have done. Boy, let us determine that we will never, never turn our back on the gospel message. As your pastor, I'm determined never to do that. I've been called shallow. Oh, you believe in soul winning, you're shallow. Or then you're calling, you know what? You're not just calling this preacher, this church shallow, you're calling Jesus shallow. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Don't call me shallow. That's hard, you know, and that's okay. I can take the names and so forth. I got big shoulders. You know what? You better understand who you're going ahead and calling shallow. That's Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, who said that? Jesus. That's shallow. But you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth, the Bible says. You know, who gave that commit? Jesus Christ. You know what? It's a time of declaration. It's a time to remember. It's a time to identify. It's a time to declare, if you will. We must never turn our back, if you will, on the gospel message. This is a day when, many churches are becoming seeker-friendly. Do whatever they can to go ahead and get the crowd, if you will. If they're abandoning the doctrines of salvation by grace through faith alone, we're never going to go ahead and abandon them doctrines here. We're always going to stand for the truth and for what is right. You know what? We're going to strive to protect the message in this church. We could compromise. Listen, you know what? As so many people, the seeker-friendly crowd, you know, we could go ahead and compromise to draw a crowd. It's happening all the time. The little strobe lights, the little band up here, you know, remove the old pulpit of wood, if you will, and put the nice little glass lectern. The preacher's all nice and smiley, you know, and everything's all right. You know what I'm talking about? Got the drums over here. Get the electric. This Bible is too hard to understand, so let's get the NIV or the ASV or the HIV or whatever. And we could go ahead and compromise to draw a crowd, but I'd rather go ahead and preach truth to a few than drag many to a Christless eternity. By the way, that's what's happening in that kind of crowd. They'll water down the message, they'll water down the truth, just to go ahead and have a good feeling. I'm not the judge, but I wonder how many really got it. I'll stick with the old-time religion, thank you very much. It's a time of expectation. The Bible says in verse 26, that last three words, till he come. And we're also reminded that this time serves to stir up our thoughts concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, you know what? He's coming back. Thank God. I don't have to look very far. Just look at the news just a little bit. Watch the news a little bit. Jesus is coming. Every time I say that statement, I am going to just go ahead and ask you the question, are you ready for him to come? He's going to come. He says so. It might not be today, but it could be. I will never be foolish and stupid. I know most preachers aren't supposed to use that word, but it's stupid to go ahead and put a date. May whatever. Whatever the case. May 31st or whatever. I'm sorry, that's foolish. No man knows. But boy, I do believe he could come in my lifetime, though. I do believe that. You know, just seeing the way things are going. I mean, you think about all the weather devastation that we've had as of late. I mean, we've had earthquakes recently. I mean, earthquake in this region just a few weeks ago. I mean, you know, it's not very common, but, you know. And then we had this huge storm, Sandy. I mean, I'm telling you. You know, I got thinking, you think about the last two major, some of the major hurricanes that we've had as of the last 8 or 10 years. Katrina, which devastated New Orleans. New Orleans is a very wicked, wicked place. And then the Jersey Shore, another filthy place. You can say whatever you want, but boy, you know what? I don't know if it's quite coincident that coincidence or not, but I don't think it's coincidence. That could be God saying, wake up. I'm just throwing out my two cents. When you think of two areas that are very, very filthy and vile when they're up and going, and God goes ahead and sends a horrendous storm or hurricane right there, to me it says it's almost wake up time. It's almost like he's saying, wake up. So you may not like that, you know, whatever. Well, all I can say is Jesus is coming. Celebrate, or we observe the Lord's Supper in just a few minutes to remember it's a time of expectation that, you know, the Bible says, for as often as you eat this drink, eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. He died for us. He rose again. He ascended to heaven for us. There he makes intercession for us at the throne of God. But let us not forget that he has promised to return, and someday we're going to run up and down the streets of gold. Someday we're going to have our mansion in heaven. Guess what? When I get my mansion over there, you're all welcome. Come over. We'll sit back, sip some iced tea together. Amen. We'll fellowship together. You know what? You know, I say this, you know, to people. You know, every once in a while, a pastor gets those who disagree with you. They'll verbally disagree with you at times. You know, I pray. I say, Lord, you know what? You know, Lord, let them be my neighbor. You know one thing about heaven? We're all going to get along. There's not going to be one person up in heaven that's going to say, well, Pastor, not one time. I'm going to say, hey, come on over. Let's have some iced tea together. And we will not have one negative tone. You know, there'll be no Facebook. I don't think there will be. Where you go ahead and want to get out there and say all your little words. God help you. You know, it happens. You know, God help you if you use Facebook to go ahead and assassinate somebody else. That's real Christianity, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I know preacher friends that just get assassinated by the internet and stuff. I'll never understand that kind of Christianity. I don't get it, really. But you know, Jesus is coming. You know, he's promised to come one day. The Lord's Supper should serve as a reminder of the fact that he is coming. It should stir our hearts by reminding us that one day he's coming soon. Our Savior's going to return in glory and take us to heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will also come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, I love this phrase, that where I am, there you may be also. Can you imagine a place of where he is? Our brother Rick will never have cancer. We'll never see our Miss Karen rolling in on with a cane or a wheelchair. Alan and Elaine are going to be able to hear their preacher. That's exciting, huh? They probably like it this way. There'll be no more blindness. There'll be no more Alzheimer's. At where I am, we may be also. I like that. Jesus is coming. And it's a time of examination. While all the other truths we have considered are very important, this is a very serious truth. It's a warning for all of us here tonight. The Lord's Supper service is certainly a time of reflection and worship, but it's also a time of self-examination. You know, the Bible says here that we're warned against the partaking of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. The Scripture says, for this cause many are weak, and sickly among you, and many sleep. It means, you know, you take it unworthily, and he says, do not take it unworthily, and he says that, you know what, many have gotten sick. That word sleep there means death. Many have even died. You know, if you take it unworthily. It's a time of self-examination. It's a warning to the lost. No one has not been, you know what, let me just say this. If you're counting on the Lord's Supper to take you to heaven, you're going to hell. Jesus Christ can only take you to heaven. But the Lord's Supper, you know, it's a warning to the lost. No one who has not been saved should not partake of the Lord's Supper. Bottom line, it's a very dangerous thing to do. You know, it's also a warning to the backslider. When we come to the Lord's table with sin in our lives, we open our lives to God's judgment. In verse number 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You know, you open your lives to God's judgment, and he will chasten his children when they profess to be right with God, and yet they're harboring sin in their hearts. It's also a warning to not take it lightly, as I kind of alluded to it a moment ago. Too often, people will come to the Lord's Supper and will not take time to search your hearts, will not take time to cleanse their sin. For if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. They won't consider the great sacrifice that Jesus gave for their redemption. They go through the motions but ignore the emotions. Well, it shouldn't be that way. You know, listen, if you're going through the motions just to make it look like you're a good Christian, that's the wrong reason. If you've got no sin in your life, and, you know, and listen, we're not perfect. Well, I understand that. But that's why every single day you have your prayer life, and right at the top of my list is my confession time, because I know I blew it somewhere along the way. And Lord, I say, God, forgive me of maybe I said the wrong word or I looked at the wrong thing or whatever, and say, God, please cleanse me. Please forgive me of my sin or whatever. I don't want to go ahead and preach. I don't want to go ahead and serve with some filth in my life. God, cleanse me. And the Bible says, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, the scripture says, Psalm 139. You know, they go through the motions and ignore the emotions. Others participate in a ritualistic way, and not with their minds and with their hearts. They trust a ceremony, a Lord's Supper ceremony, if you will, to save them, and they fail to trust in the one whom that ceremony points to. Jesus is the only one that can save your soul. Some take it lightly. When we partake of the Lord's Supper in a manner that degrades the truth behind the celebration, we're guilty of trampling under the foot the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is much like this when someone takes the American flag and they go ahead and they trample it in protest. They're doing more than just damaging a piece of cloth. They are actually dishonoring the nation and all that it stands for. Now, to the Christian, the Lord's Supper, it's the same way. You know, we need to be careful to examine our hearts and live in our lives and our motives before we receive the elements of the Lord's Supper. You're trampling the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul's warning is serious. He reminds the Corinthians that you need to go ahead and examine yourself. I remember as a child, I grew up on a dairy farm. And as a child, I don't know why, on a farm you always got dirty. You know, I'd play outside in the dust. I'd be at the hay field or whatever, dust and so forth, or work in the barn, dust. My mom would go ahead and yell out, supper time! Come in. Before we sat down at the table, she says, go wash up. We weren't eating unless we washed up. Bottom line, I'd have to go in the bathroom, and you know how little boys do. You know, no soap, but no, get the soap. Clean yourself up to be ready for this wonderful spread. In essence, that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. Clean up your act. Come prepared. Having searched your heart, having asked God for some for forgiveness, preparing yourself for the Lord's Supper. Are you in the right condition to do so? Are you saved? Is your life pleasing to God? Are there some hidden things in your life that need to be dealt with this evening? Is there anything or any problem between you and another believer? Can you honestly say that your heart and life are pure tonight? And are you ready to receive that bread in just a moment? The picture of the broken body of Jesus Christ. This do in remembrance of me. Are you ready to go ahead and partake of that juice that pictures his blood, his precious blood? For without the remission of sins, for without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And I ask you in just a few moments, are you ready? Examine yourself. Our Heavenly Father, God, we love you. God, this really ought to be a precious time. Really ought to be a time where we just sit back and remember and willing to identify ourselves, not be ashamed. Time that's not taken lightly. We've examined ourselves, and best we know how, we've cleaned up our act. And I pray, dear God, that in just a few moments after the invitation, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, I pray that we would look at that bread, we look at that juice, and remember what it's all about.